There was a good old boy by the name of Bubba, and we had a Bubba here in this church from the deep south. And Bubba was walking down the road, and he saw the convenience store, and he went into the convenience store. And as he was going into the convenience store, one of his buddies from New York City was there. And Bubba was in a mischievous kind of mood that day. So they went into the convenience store, and no one was looking. Bubba took 3 candy bars from the store shelf and put them in his pocket. Well, walking out of the store, Bubba and his buddy, Bubba said, "Hey, did you see what I just did? This old southern boy did it. I stole 3 candy bars and got away with it. Man, I am so slick." Well, his friend really wasn't impressed. He said, "That's nothing. Let's go back to the store and I'll show you what a real slick person from New York can do." So they returned to the convenience store. His buddy went up to the young man behind the counter and he said, "Would you like to see a fantastic magic trick?" The young man said, "Well, I guess so." And his buddy said, "Give me a candy bar." Well, the convenience clerk thought, "Well, if I'm going to see a magic check, it's probably worth a candy bar." So he gave it to him, and he ate it. Then he asked for a second candy bar, and he ate that one too. And he asked for the third candy bar, and he finished that one off real good, and he said, "That's the trick." Well, the clerk says, "Well, where's the magic? I don't understand." He says, "Well, if you look in Bubba's pocket, you'll find all 3 candy bars right there." And of course they were. It's a pretty good magic trick if you disregard the ethics of it all. So, when we come to worship this morning, most of us come to worship and we looking for the strength and the wisdom of fellow believers as we come together to support one another in worship. But sometimes we just maybe don't get anything out of the worship service, and we might think to ourselves, "Well, where's the magic, preacher?" Now, I don't mean that when you come to worship that you're expecting a magic show with a charming musician and beautiful assistants with rabbits coming out of hats and all that kind of stuff. You may wish that was going to happen this morning, but obviously that's not what's going to happen. Because I have no desire ever to make a spectacle out of worship. What I do contend is, though, that there ought to be a more sense of expectancy. When you come into this beautiful sanctuary, that you're expecting something special is going to happen. As if you expected that this day, that you would come into the presence of God. That song that Charlie sang about the promise kind of sums it all up. Now, I believe that the 11th chapter of Hebrews has that kind of magic. In there, the writer seeks to define the meaning of faith. And it's clear that he believes that there is magic in faith. And he begins with a definition. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. When I was in the automobile business, I still have the same nameplate, except I changed it from automotive investment counselor to pastor. But on the back of that nameplate, there was simple word confidence. Because it used to give me the faith sometimes to deal with things that I was dealing with. Faith and confidence are synonymous. That's a nice definition. But it's kind of abstract about faith. What does he mean by faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we don't see? Fortunately, the writer Hebrews, most likely it was Paul, but we don't know, does not stop at a dictionary definition. He shows us faith in action. And this is what the ancients were commended for, that he continued. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, that's a little heavy, and I know. But what is seen was not made out of what was visible. But the writer of Hebrews is just getting warmed up. He's taking us back to a time when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then turning to the first chapter of the Bible, back in Genesis, he begins with Abel and shows how Abel's offering to God was more acceptable than Cain's because of his faith. And then he deals with Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and even the harlot Rahab. And he shows us the importance of faith at work in their lives. Then he adds these names, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice, shut up the mouth of lions and quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped at the edge of the sword, whose weakness turned into strength, and who became more powerful in battle and routed out foreign armies. It was because of faith. It's a stirring chapter filled with magic that only God could perform. And we see that same magic this morning in our brief lesson in Hebrews. And I challenge you to read the whole chapter and even look at the whole book of Hebrews. It's fascinating there. Because think about this. He focused on a 99-year-old patriarch named Abraham, who discovers that his 98-year-old wife is pregnant. And that's pretty fantastic in itself. And listen to how he describes this elderly couple. He said, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place which would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children. And so from this one man, as good as he was, because he was close to death, came descendants so numerous, the scripture says, that the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore can't count. Imagine a 99-year-old and a 98-year-old woman, way past childbearing years, bears a child to this old man who was as good as dead. So in other words, the writer Hebrews is saying, that's not magic. I would like to know what it is. But it's not that kind of magic that a magician can perform. It's magic only because God can perform. And there's a magic that can be seen only through the faith of eyes. Trust and obey, for there's no any other way. So again, the writers in Hebrews giving us a description of the nature of faith. So what is faith? Well, I want to begin with maybe a very elementary statement. Faith is believed in God, period. However, it is not simply that God exists, but that God is present with us and working for the good of our own life in this old world. In other words, faith is trusting God in all things. Max Lucado is a good Christian writer. I like reading some of his stuff, and he's got a program now on TBN, and you can verbalize some of the things that he talked about. But he told a story about that he was going into the interior of Brazil with some missionaries, and he was riding with this missionary pilot in one of these old missionary planes. He said they were flying all around all these remote areas and so forth, and his four-seater plane was shaky at best. It was not in very good shape, he said. He said, I was thinking Wilbur and Orville Wright in that little aircraft that they made their first flight in was probably safer than the one that I'm in. So Max confessed that he could not get comfortable in this plane. This is an undersized plane, and he kept thinking, we're going to crash, and he kept squirming and looking around and looking down, and he said, oh, if this thing goes down, I'm going to get gobbled up by pariahs, and maybe even an anaconda will just swallow me whole. He kept shifting around, looking down, gripping on his seat. Finally, the pilot said to him, Max, I've had enough of that squirming. And he looked at him, and he shouted, we won't face anything that I can't handle, the pilot shouted to him. So you might as well trust me and let me fly this plane. That's faith. That's faith. You've probably seen bumper stickers, and I make light of it sometimes, that God is my co-pilot. And that's the kind of faith that the writer of Hebrews is describing. God is our co-pilot in everything that we do in this life. We won't face anything that he can't handle. So God says, you might as well trust me, even when you're riding in an airplane. That's faith. It's also the kind of, we were blessed to have the flying circus in Tallahassee here down at FSU. And it's amazing to watch those people in that trapeze and how they fly through the air. And somebody asked one of the guys that flies on that thing one time, you got to really have a lot of skill and confidence and different things like that. Oh, yeah, I do. But I'm not the most important part. It's the catcher. If the catcher wasn't paying attention to catch me, I would be gone. All I have to do is simply raise my hands to the catcher and he'll catch me. A flyer's got to fly, yeah, but the catcher must catch. And with that, you have to trust the catcher with outstretched arms. That's the way it is in life. So do you believe that when you're flying through the air on anything and a crisis kind of faces you right there, wait for God to catch you? That's faith. It's simply not belief in God. It's the absolute trust that God cares for you and is always there. The second little thing is this. Since we trust God, faith is also living in obedience to God's will. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Abraham just didn't believe in the existence of God because he trusted God. Abraham went where God told him to go, and God wanted him to do, so he obeyed. Some questions for all of us to think about. Not necessarily a question for you or a question for me. These are general questions sometimes. When you ask somebody, do you believe in God? And usually the answer you get, of course I believe in God. Everybody believes in God, right? Or the question is this, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And sometimes you get the answer, well, of course I believe in Jesus Christ. I went to Sunday school when I was little, and they taught me Jesus was quite a man. And the other question is this. Have you ever fully committed your life to Christ enough so that you'll commit all that you are and all that you have to him? Wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying that we need to be religious fanatics? No, that's not at all. But what I am saying that every Christian, one who follows Christ, needs to believe what it's all about is simply believing. Somehow we read these words from the letter of Hebrews and we read about the victories that were won and the persecutions that were endured and just can't not help to believe that faith is much more than just saying, I believe. Jesus' half-brother James in the little book of James records this in chapter 2, verse 19, even the demons believed and shudder. You see, faith is more than just believing. It doesn't seem to come to the element of magic. Faith is the total commitment of all of us. And all that we are, and through Christ, we have this hope of something much better ahead. One of the things that Jesus did when he came to this earth, and he walked this earth, and he taught, and he ministered, and he showed people different things. He did miracles and all of that. But, you know, there's a lot of them still didn't believe even after he did all these miracles. And that's just magic. But what he did do was able to live a sinless life because of his faith in the Father. Now imagine that was hard to stay true to what God sent him here to do with all the temptations that he had. You know, Satan said, oh, if you're hungry, you can turn these rocks into bread and all that. No, he stayed true to his calling, up to, including the death on the cross. It's the most amazing thing. So, like that trapeze guy, the catcher, what did Jesus do on the cross with his arms outstretched? Forgive them, Father, for they know what they do. But receive me, catch me into your arms, O Lord. And he did just that. And then he was buried. And then the third day, it wasn't magic. God raised him from the dead. He was seen by hundreds to be able to show what God was doing in us, and still they didn't believe. Jesus told the disciples to go to the upper room, and I'll come and I'll share with you, and told them that he was going to send one greater than him and the Holy Spirit. And then he also departed up into heaven, and they were looking around, and they said, the disciples said to him, watch, the same Jesus that is taken up for you is going to come back. There's one more thing found in the book of Hebrews that we mentioned this morning and we read. It was faith in a promise, as Abraham described it. There is a city with foundations. The new city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven that we talked about in the book of Revelation. Now, we speak far less about heaven today in our time than probably our parents did. You don't hear people talking about heaven much anymore, but they should. Because why, you wonder? Well, we've turned into a secular society. And they're saying, well, our kingdom is right here and now. Isn't it no wonder why people have so much joy in this world, where they don't understand the joy of heaven? They're miserable. Do you ever notice people today don't have a sense of humor? It's odd. It really is odd. It's fun to laugh. The Bible says in Proverbs that a little laughter is good for medicine for your soul. No wonder why so many of us dread the process of aging and are haunted by the fear of death. How many people are foolish that we are degenerate and close our eye to the most beautiful, blessed thing that we can imagine, the blessed hope that we have in Christ, eternal life. That's why I like to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said. If we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the promise coming again, we have hope in Jesus Christ. Where would we be without hope? But there's one more thing, and I'll close with this. Faith is also that unshakable sense of trust that keeps going, keeps leading us through the dark valleys of life, those difficult valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because God is walking there with us. I think every one of us has walked through that dark valley in our life at some time. It's a challenge. There's no doubt about it. It even challenges your faith sometimes. But you wonder how shallow we are to conclude that life ends at the grave. It doesn't. Faith is real. Have faith. Always look forward to the positive expectation of that unquenchable hope that we have in Christ. Such a spirit comes from a lifetime commitment and trust. I know myself, I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't realized that I needed to put my life into God's hands completely. Because I like to still get in there and mess things up and, you know. But by putting my life directly into God's hands, he keeps me accountable. And when he keeps me accountable, I learn. And it is by faith that I know that there's something much better ahead. It's that unquenchable hope that we all have. And such a spirit comes from a lifetime of commitment and trust. That's why I'm so grateful that these young people come to church and Tina and Travis support them and teach them. Can you imagine them being a young person in this world today, going to the schools and have fear that somebody's going to come in and shoot up the schools and all the other stuff that goes on? But by Tina and Travis planting that seed of hope and grace and love and understanding, oh, they still have challenges. But it gives them the peace and to be able to give the fellow students some comfort on things on from what they learned here at this church. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't come easy, that trust in God. But there's good days There's bad days. We all have them. And there's always a belief that no matter what, life goes on. Think about that. People that we know and love have passed on and went to heaven. And here we are left behind. Why are we left behind? We're left behind for people like Sylvia that's struggling with the death of a loved one. We're left behind to encourage one another with the hope and the grace and the faith that we have in Christ. So the question is this. Do you believe in God? And I think we all can say, yes, of course I believe in God. Do you have the faith that Abraham had? Believe in a promise of God. Do you believe that God will always be there with you regardless of the obstacles that you may face, even into eternity? That's faith.